Sometimes, the best stories in golf aren't found on tour. You'll find them at the back of the range. And here's your host, Ben Adelberg.
And welcome to the back of the range. I am your host, Ben Adelberg. This is episode 337. Just arrived yesterday in Augusta, Georgia, and the Augusta National Women's Amateur is set to start this week with the best amateurs in the world competing at Champions Retreat for the first two rounds, and then those lucky few that make the cut head over to Augusta National Golf Club. Absolutely thrilled to be back this year for the tournament. I spent the day of the practice round just catching up with some players that I've not seen in quite a while, and also reconnecting with the great people in the media center that will be working hard to bring you the stories from the Augusta National Women's Amateur. My guest on this episode is in the field this week. She'll be looking to improve upon her T14 finish last year. She's Amanda Sambach, a member of the University of Virginia women's golf team. She is the reigning ACC champion and also on the Annika Award watch list. So yes, she is in the running for the Player of the Year Award and also one of the names to look out for this week in Augusta. We spoke about her start in the game, what makes Anwa so special, and what made her more nervous throwing out the first pitch at a Twins game last fall or the opening tee shot at the Augusta National Women's Amateur. The answer might surprise you. As always, follow along on social media. Lots of content coming your way here in Augusta over the next couple weeks. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Go to the website, thebackoftherange.com. That's where you'll find a lot of that information. Let's get started. Amanda, welcome to the back of the range. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. It's that time of year again. We're making the pilgrimage back to Augusta, Georgia. And I think you're already there at this point. I'm still a day or two away of getting there, but preparation has begun. Just coming off a nice finish at the UGA tournament, the Murphy Collegiate. So, status of the game, how we feeling? Getting ready for the biggest week of the year.
Overall, feeling pretty good. Like you said, coming from UGA, had a rough first two rounds. It was a 36-hole day. So it was just kind of a rough day, but was able to get it back on the third round, which definitely felt really good coming to Augusta. So that was good for the confidence. I was having trouble with my putting a little bit the first day. So just getting to see the ball go in the hole a little bit more the last day was pretty good.
36 whole days are they're the bane of my existence for what I do trying to capture content out of collegiate golf tournaments. I know that they are just incredibly difficult. It's part of, like, you know, people may wonder why are there 36 whole days in college golf? There are a limited amount of competition days that the NCAA gives college programs so that, you know, in order to get more reps, sometimes you got to squeeze a 3-day tournament into two. That's a really quick explanation of why that occurs. But how do you, since we're talking about it, how do you get through a 36-hole day just with your sanity intact? Because it's so long of a day. How do you do it?
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, especially at this past tournament, that course, the UGA home golf course, is one of the hilliest courses I've ever walked in my life. So the legs were really feeling it afterwards. But getting through it, it's tough. I feel like in my first year, or maybe even first 2 years, like the first couple times I did it, I was just like, all right, here we go. 35 more, 34 more.
Okay. And
I feel like that kind of made the day a little bit longer. So I don't know. It didn't feel too bad this last week. I don't know. I just kind of go into it just knowing it's going to be a long day. It's probably going to get backed up. I'm probably going to have to wait a really long time on some of the holes. So just kind of being comfortable with that fact, I think, is a big part of it. I put a seat on my push cart. I think that's really helped me a lot. I love to sit in between shots, just in the fairway, just to save your legs, honestly. Like, it is really helpful in a lot of my teammates make fun of me for it, but
I kind of feel that with push carts, you know, you're walking as much as you are, and you're trying, basically you're using it to save your back, save your legs, and also using it for snack and drink storage, basically also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. I when people talk about, you know, oh, you know, push cart or carrier bag, I'm thinking to myself, you know, why don't you go spend 10 hours and let me know how that works for you? And you carry your bag.
Yeah. I mean, you have a whole pantry in your push cart. You can't really do that when you're carrying your bag.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a strategy. So you're at Augusta. You're starting to get ready. Let's, you know, just to backtrack so people understand, University of Virginia in your junior season had, you know, really, really great success last year with winning the Annika Intercollegiate, and then obviously winning ACCs, winning at regionals. So really kind of a breakout year last year. Growing up, Davidson, North Carolina, I kind of feel that, okay, it's not Pinehurst, but you ended up going there after high school. But still, North Carolina, pretty much a hotbed of golf. When did you start playing? What kind of caught your eye, or how'd you catch the golf bug?
Yeah, I started playing golf when I was about 7 years old. Kind of just followed after my dad. I was playing competitive tennis growing up, and would go every once in a while to the range with my dad. And I was never really super interested in it until he like kind of asked me to like hit a couple balls with his clubs, like just for fun.
Sure.
I was like, yeah, sure. And I don't know, like a lot of people say like love at first sight, but it really was like, it just clicked. Like the first time I hit range balls, I remember it. Like I was hitting my dad's clubs way too heavy for me, way too long for me, but it just felt really good. And I don't know, I just kept wanting to go back and back with him. So that's kind of how it started.
It's kind of, I mean, it's obviously a singular sport. Tennis, you kind of always have to find a hitting partner, or, you know, mm-hmm. golf, you can kind of do your own thing. Does that match up with kind of what you're looking for at that time as far as like, you know, athletics and activity, so to speak? Because again, you can kind of just go down a rabbit hole and spend hours and hours on a putting green, chipping green, on the range. Is that maybe what drew you in?
Yeah, I think that was probably part of it. I guess it prepared me more for like the future rather than like what I was looking for, really.
Sure.
Because I felt like growing up playing golf, I didn't really have anyone at my club. Like there were no juniors at my club at all. So kind of just like starting with no one to like even practice with, even though it is an individual sport, it's nice to like go to the range with someone.
Sure.
Or like have a putting competition with someone. So I don't know. I think doing that from a young age like really prepared me to like succeed individually later on, I guess, in sport.
How much money did you take off of the old guys at the club as a junior? I'm thinking just, I mean, just so, there got to be a whole collection of pigeons for you just to kind of pull quarters off of, or, you know, hot dogs and Cokes and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely should have gamed a little bit more as a kid. I think I would have made a good amount of money.
But that's also kind of, but did your club, I know it maybe didn't have the, you know, kids your age, but did you have kind of that core group that kind of, you know, looked out for the juniors, gave an opportunity to play and kind of learn the game?
Later on, when I was probably in middle school, there was a group of high schoolers that kind of took me in, which was really nice. I don't know if Will Gordon,
yeah,
Anna Redding, the Collins sisters, which Annie Collins now the assistant coach at Virginia. So it's like a full circle kind of moment, but yeah, growing up, I definitely looked up to them, and they were really nice to me and like let me join them when they would play.
That's an awesome start to the game.
Yeah. And Amin Gupta
too. Amin, I haven't heard that name in ages. When's the last time you talked to him?
So long ago. It was probably like a sophomore in high school.
So awesome start in, I mean, it's a great place for you to learn the game. You got people, you know, kids you can look up to that obviously you're very successful themselves. You have an excellent junior career. When did, I guess, you know, you go from learning the game, having fun, you know, kind of knocking it around to like, all right, I want to compete. And then, you know, because at some point the competition aspect of it kind of takes hold as well.
I think I started that really young. Like I remember playing like interclub with the local just country clubs around when I was probably like 10 or so. And I remember the first round of nine holes that I played, I shot 53.
Okay.
And then the next time I shot 54. And then I shot 52. And from I remember from that day, I was like, I will not be going backwards anymore. Like, it will always be better than a 52 from this day forward.
Okay, well.
So, I don't know. I've just always been so competitive. I feel like, I guess a lot of it came from tennis. I started tennis when I was like 3 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, super early. So, I don't know. I've always been kind of wired that way. But I don't think I really experienced like a lot of success until I was maybe like 14.
So I'm guessing that it's a work ethic thing, because I mean, obviously physical abilities are one thing, but at that age, I mean, something has to go off in your head that just makes you work harder than other kids.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that that reminds me of Rachel Heck's article that she wrote on No Laying Up.
Yeah.
You have to read. Just kind of like the idea of, okay, my friends are having a play date and I'm on the putting green. Like, it was a lot of that, you know? And I think in my eyes, that was worth it. But yeah, I loved it.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, I think there's some that I know that there, it is the sacrifice, but at the time you're probably not thinking that it's a sacrifice. You're thinking right. Like, I want to do this. I don't like, you know, for not just you, but all these high level amateurs that I'm around. Like, I never once think like, oh, what are you doing today? Oh, nothing. I'm sitting around. Like, I don't see that out of any of you, you know, both right. On the men's side and the women's side. Like, oh, I just watch Netflix for 7 hours all day. Like, I just don't see that.
It just, yeah, it doesn't exist.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's crazy. Like, you hear that from someone that doesn't play golf and you're like, oh yeah, like normal day. But if you hear that from, if I heard that from one of my teammates or like anyone in this field, I'd be like, what are you doing?
Right. Or like, are you sick? Are you injured? Like, is yeah, there, like yeah. You must, or you'd feel sorry for them and you'd be, oh my gosh, that's miserable. Like, how'd you get through the day? Like just.
Right.
So going to Virginia, you know, we talked about North Carolina, you commit to University of Virginia. I've, you know, Coach Rhea Scott, I spent a lot of time, you know, spent some time around this team. Saw you ladies at the Annika. I've seen you at other tournaments. It seems like a really fun team to be around. And I'm not saying that other teams aren't fun and everyone has has their good times and everyone has their highs and their lows, but I kind of get a sense that this team is just, it's a fun team. Am I reading it right?
Yeah, it is a fun team. And I think a lot of that comes from like humility. I think we all just like really respect each other and like, I don't know. I feel like all of our team, like we're all rooting for each other. Sure. And like, that's the biggest part of it. Like it's very healthy competition, which I feel like is a little bit rare in the college scene.
When did you first meet Coach Scott?
I want to say it wasn't until like late in my junior year of high school. Cause Kim Llewellyn recruited me.
Right.
And then Rhea came in, I think, my sophomore year of high school. And then I think I met her at one of my tournaments.
And then the rest is history, basically.
Indeed.
So this team, obviously, currently top 25 in the country. It's one of those where you're trying to get in line for another ACC title and move it on to nationals. You know, men's team gets a lot of attention, too. You know, we got Ben James going to the Walker Cup. Devin just picked up a win. It's got to be healthy competition between both programs as well.
It is. Yeah. Their team's super respectable and they work their tails off. I mean, it's crazy. Every time I'm at the facility, over half the team's there. And I mean, Ben is crazy. Like I'll forget something at our facility and go by at like 8 p.m. and he's hitting balls outside when it's dark and he's there first thing in the morning. Like he's always there, and it's honestly like so cool to see.
Let's talk a little bit about last year. Awesome season. As I said, you won the 2022 Annika Intercollegiate, which brought you a little bit of a special honor at the start of this year, which was way back in September. Throwing the first pitch out at a Twins game in September. That's how you kick off your collegiate season. That's how you kick off your junior year. You were smiling and laughing that entire evening. I mean, first of all, you're hanging out with Annika Sorenstam, which is, that's not a bad evening. When did you first find out that they were going to ask you to throw out the first pitch?
I heard that it might be a possibility a couple days before we left for the tournament. And I was like half like, oh my God, like this is the best news I've ever heard in my entire life. And half like, please don't be true.
Uh-huh.
I was so nervous.
I was actually going to ask you, opening tee shot at Anwa or throw out the first pitch at a baseball game at a Twins game? I'm guessing, I mean, same type of prep and breathing techniques, right?
Yeah, I would definitely say the Twins game, especially throwing to Annika. Like if it was like just a third catcher, I would have been fine. But like being responsible for potentially like harming Annika's Sorenstam was...
Yeah. I mean, that would be a viral moment. You know, I think that would get some publicity if she somehow missed it. And yeah, just that would be bad. We don't need that.
No.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be one of the... can you think of anything else better than that?
No, honestly. I had so much fun.
You last season winning ACCs and regionals back-to-back. I'm sure you would like to bottle that swing somehow and carry that with you and the mindset that went along with it, carry that with you everywhere. You definitely would, you know, again, leading into this year's ANWA, how are you thinking back to maybe what was going on last year at that time, how to channel that when you're arguably playing one of the biggest tournaments of the year, or was that just 2 weeks that just clicked? How do you look back on that?
I've been thinking a lot about that actually the past couple days, and I'm realizing that I gained that confidence that I had going into ACCs from ANWA, and I just felt so confident in my game, and getting to play a competitive round at Augusta, it like truly it did something to me where I was like, I'm playing where the GOATs like have played and won and competed, and like there's just something about that that gave me so much confidence, like just being there, being able to compete on the same golf course, and then like finishing well obviously too was a lot of it. And then I was just able to go into ACCs being like, this isn't very, I don't know, this might sound a little cocky, but like going to ACCs, I was like, not a lot of these girls have experienced that.
Well, no, that's fair. I mean, it's I think that's fair. I mean, no matter what style you're playing, whether it's stroke or match play, you're sizing up your competition. And it probably calmed you down to know that they were maybe going to be more stressed than you.
Right. Yeah. And then also like, the way ACCs was set up last year was so gettable. And I feel like playing ANWA on Champions Retreat and then Augusta National, like two really notoriously tough golf courses, and then going to a course where the par fives are like 430 yards.
Right.
Like I knew I was going to eat that up, you know? Or at least it felt like it. So I don't know. Confidence was definitely really high. And I think that's given me a lot of comfort going into this week too, because last year I wasn't like, I'm going to make the cut at ANWA and potentially put myself in contention. And going into this week, I'm not overly confident, but knowing that I was in the same mindset last year has been really good for me to think about.
Last year you finished tied for 14th. It was your third appearance. And, you know, I think I remember 2 years ago just you missing the cut, and it's so difficult because, again, we spoke about this earlier. The tournament's a little bit of an anomaly where normally you would not be thinking about cut lines. And it feels that it's kind of a weight that everyone carries around because the prize of playing Augusta National in front of huge galleries is so alluring. Like, how do you even go into that mentally? Like, how do you just somehow treat it like every other tournament you've ever played?
Yeah, I think it's really difficult for everyone here to do. But I think really just compartmentalizing the best that you possibly can, just playing your practice round on Champions Retreat and feeling prepared on that course and just giving all of your attention to those next two rounds on that course as if like there was no Augusta National.
Right. Because it's almost like two different tournaments, really.
Yeah, it really is.
2 years ago, I was walking with Megha Ghane and Erica Shepherd after they missed the cut and during the final round. And they were not happy to be on the sidelines during that final round. I'm guessing you feel the same way. The practice round, knowing that you've missed the cut versus the practice round, knowing that you're preparing for the final round, two completely different experiences.
For sure. I mean, you miss the cut and then the next day you play a practice round where half the girls are preparing for the next day and half the girls are just there for fun. And you're kind of like all grouped together. So like you could be in a group with two girls who are preparing for the next day and then you're the only one that missed the cut and it's just kind of a weird vibe. And you're like trying to soak it all in, but it's so hard knowing that you're not playing it tomorrow.
Oh, I didn't know they just do the random throw it together randomly. That would be really weird.
Yeah, it's a tough vibe because you sign up for your own practice rounds. So like you'll sign up with your friends.
Right.
And that's even weirder sometimes playing with a friend who is playing the next day. And then if you're not, like,
so did that happen to you last year? Or is it 2 years ago?
No. I think 2 years ago I was paired with, I actually remember I played with Antonia Malate, which was the first time I'd met her, but she was playing in the final round and I wasn't. But we still had fun. Like, I wouldn't say that was the only thing I was thinking about, but it's definitely strange.
Yeah. Cause like they're working and prepping and you kind of feel like you're left out.
Yeah. And you also like, don't want to like have too much fun to like distract them. Right. From not. Yeah. So it's tough to like really enjoy and appreciate every single thing about the course that way.
I think tickets are at Augusta National, or it's easier for people to get tickets to ANWA than it is the Masters. I kind of feel that maybe that the first year or two, people were just kind of there to see the golf course and maybe not paying as close of attention to ANWA. But I kind of felt a little bit of a shift last year. Like, yeah. I remember walking around and just kind of the gallery, like, everyone seems to really be into this. Did you get a sense of that when you're out there?
Yeah, I thought so for sure. I mean, the first 2 years when I was watching the last 2 days, I mean, there were like a good amount of people, but it wasn't like, wow, like these girls are getting so much attention and this is awesome. Like, I don't know. It is definitely different. I felt like last year it was more spread out also. Like you had people watching everyone. It wasn't just like, okay, I'm just going to follow the last group.
Right.
Final group. You had people everywhere that were like just curious and like genuinely interested in watching girls golf.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely grown and gotten different, which I think is so huge for the game.
Yeah. Well, so do you have a sense of that when you're out there playing? I mean, are you thinking, and I guess you could only speak for yourself, not for, you know, anyone else, but do you get a sense of like, hey, this may be like my one chance this year to be in front of a stage and gallery this big? I really want to put on a show, or are you just kind of, is it just kind of business as usual?
I feel like it's a little bit of both. I wouldn't say there's any pressure to like compete in front of a crowd like that. I think it's more of like a blessing.
Sure.
Like, okay, if I get to do that, like that would be awesome. But it's not really like a pressing thing that I'm like, I need to I need to get attention from these people.
So let's talk a little bit about the guy in the bag. As he's super guy, Rusty Coble is your caddy. Is this your, this going to be the fourth year with him?
It'll be my third year.
Third year. Okay. So I met Rusty in 2022, just a super guy. How did you get connected with him?
He got randomly selected to be my caddy the second year that I played in AMOL.
What is it about him that makes him such a perfect fit?
I feel like we're just very similar, like demeanor wise. I'm a pretty low energy person. I feel like I play like pretty even throughout the round, not a huge talker. And I'd say he understands that more than any other caddy I've really had. So like he'll give me my space when I need my space, and sure, he'll make small talk when I want to have someone to talk to. And he's not like overly positive, which honestly like is such a green flag for me. Like if I hit a bad shot, I don't want someone to be like, it's okay, like you got this, like easy up and down from there. Like he's more just like,
you want someone authentic.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. Yeah,
exactly. He's very authentic, and I really appreciate that.
That's I know exactly what you're talking about. You hit a bad shot, you know it's bad. The caddy knows it's bad. Everyone knows it's bad, but he's trying to somehow convince you that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
What are some of the things around there that like obviously the demeanor and the communication vibe is you're on the same page there, but what is maybe his skill set that you're leaning on more than most? You know, maybe sometimes you're handling the reads at, you know, in other tournaments, but what's something that you're really going to be leaning on him for?
Yeah, he's always been really good with his numbers, and he's quick. So that's a huge part of it. Just feeling really confident. When he gives me a number, I know it's right. Or when I know it's wrong, I know it's wrong.
Sure.
So that's a huge thing that I lean on for him. And in terms of reads, I mean, he knows champions who shoot really well. I use aimpoint, so I'll do that for most of the time, and then I'll call him in on putts that I'm not super confident about.
Yeah, I almost feel like you got it. Like I know we've kind of hit upon this many times, but like champions retreat is really where all the work is done. Like you have to get that figured out.
Yeah, and I feel like I've spent the last 3 years trying to figure it out, and it's like it's still an ongoing thing. I feel like I don't know what it is, but I mean the greens are fast and firm and undulating, and there are just some fairways that are really tough visually off the tee. I feel like half the battle is your mentality going out there.
Yeah, 100%. What's the best part of ANWA outside of the golf? Is there something that you look forward to more so than obviously competing is the primary, but other than that?
The chairman's dinner is pretty cool.
What? Obviously, you're going to be surrounded by a lot of the best collegiate players in the country at ANWA, and you were surrounded by several of them at the Curtis Cup practice session down in South Florida. Yeah. This is kind of something that you're seeing more and more of, where you're constantly surrounded by friends. And how much of a challenge is it to get the best out of your game when you're kind of competing against your friends, not just ANWA, but obviously you want to make that Curtis Cup team. You're going to a practice session. You know, everyone, how do you put that out of your mind and still perform?
I don't think it's been that hard for me, honestly, to kind of separate the two. I feel like going to the Curtis Cup practice squad and getting to spend time with the girls, I mean, it is really bonding. I wouldn't say any of it's cutthroat. Like, obviously, I want to make the team and be here and meet everyone. So does everyone else.
Sure.
But I feel like the girls that I've met are really good at just kind of keeping the golf on the golf course. Because, I mean, we've built some really great relationships through that, and I feel like they're very much so alive off the golf course.
Yeah, that's going to be a really strong team, whoever makes it.
Yeah, it'll be really fun. I mean, it was a great group of girls.
And you got that score. Yeah, and you got to play Seminole, Pine Tree, and Medalist. Yeah. Is that right?
Just Seminole and Pine Tree.
Oh, just Seminole and Pine Tree, huh?
Yeah. It was, there was no wind at Seminole. It was so weird.
It's a completely different golf course. That, yeah. Either you get the wind or you don't. And if you don't, it feels like almost like you're getting kind of getting ripped off a little bit.
Yeah. But Pine Tree was really cool too.
Yeah. That's a fun place. Amanda, I'm glad we got to spend some time catching up. Going to be great to see you and the rest of the players at the Augusta National Women's Amateur, getting ready to start in just a couple days. So get some rest, get prepped, and wish you the best of luck. Appreciate you stopping by the back of the range.
Thank you, Ben.
And there you have it. Special thanks to Amanda Sombach for joining me on this episode here at the back of the range. Don't forget, follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Every episode is available at thebackoftherange.com. We'll see you next time here at the back of the range.